All right. Well, we're back here with a part two of the broadcast. We're going to talk a little bit about the state tournament and then maybe a little more on the Final Four. Well, Bob, let's talk a little bit about the state tournament. You know, when we talked last week, you know, I think we both thought that Ames would get to the final and probably win. I did anyway. Boy, they were sure impressive, weren't they?
Oh, they were very, very impressive. You know, after the first round, the Kennedy coaches, they wanted to talk to me about Ames, and I said, I can talk all night about Ames, but I said, I don't know if that's going to, you know, help you that much. I said, they're going to come out and they're going to do what they do, and they do it very well. And I said, the big thing is they've played together for so long that, you know, they know what every guy's going to do, and they play to their strengths. And when you got a catalyst like Lipsy, you know, he is the ultimate and consummate point guard and leader. And that was no more indicative than what he did in the final game. I mean, a triple-double, you know, that's very, very impressive.
And I don't even think he was completely healthy, but it didn't matter, did it?
No, it didn't. And, you know, that just goes to show you how smart of a player he is, because he knew if he did have any limitations physically, he knew what he could and couldn't do, but he also knew the other weapons that he has around him. And I've said this since he was a freshman. He makes everybody around him better. And, again, look at the championship. 11 points, 11 rebounds, and 10 assists. And then I think he had three or four steals, too.
Well, Rod, you saw some games at the state tournament. You know, what were some of your impressions of those games?
Well, I thought Waukee Northwest would win their first game, to be honest. I thought they were – I've seen them play five times this year. And, you know, of course, Bob knows the Kennedy people pretty well. But, you know, that kind of surprised me. But, you know, Ankeny had – I mean, they had a heck of a game. It was real close. I mean, there were a lot of good games.
You know? Yeah, you know, the thing about – a lot of people don't know about Waukee Northwest is – Sanford had the flu for three or four days, and I talked to his head coach, and between Sunday and then the Wednesday that they played, he had lost 7 pounds. Yeah. And I sat down close to the floor the second half, and you could tell that he wasn't 100%. So, yeah, you know, that was a good game. I think it was tight at halftime, or it was a one-point game, and Kennedy just had that spurt for about 3 or 4 minutes where they outscored him by 7 or 9, and that ends up being a ball game.
Well, the thing I enjoyed, too, is, you know, my son's ninth grade coach was, one of them was Bob's former player, Shyam Thomas. And I'd seen this kid play AU basketball before, but, you know, I mean, I was kind of always hoping he'd end up here. And, you know, I walked away from him. I walked away from that game really impressed with how well he played. He was very good.
Yeah, he's very good, and I talked to him after the Waukee Northwest game and after the Ames game, and I mean, he's got another year yet, and he'll get stronger and bigger, and you know, he's been on the varsity since his freshman year, and he started part time as a freshman, so he's got a lot of experience under his belt, and I just saw that he made first team All State on the Iowa Sports Writers Association.
Yeah.
He's got to have some offers, doesn't he?
Yeah, you know what? He doesn't yet, but I know there's some interest in him. And then, so, yeah, that Rod, he would have been a nice addition for us. But I know that when Kinsey was going into the eighth grade, Cheyenne wanted to, you know, see his son play. And Kinsey lives with mom and that in Cedar Rapids. And so Cheyenne moved back to Cedar Rapids.
Yeah, and I was happy for Cheyenne. Was just a great coach. My son loved playing. He had him, Cody, and your son that year. I mean, that was a really good ninth grade staff we had.
Yeah.
And it was just fun seeing somebody that I know's son play so well. So.
Well, I was going to ask you about the championship game on Saturday night there, Bob, or Friday night, I guess. You know, it wouldn't have made a difference for Johnston, but, boy, you just tell that Stephen Kramer wasn't himself either. I mean,
no.
he obviously got hurt in that Ankeny game, and, I mean, he was just a shell of himself that night.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know exactly where his injury was at, but it looked like to me he got a knee in that lower thigh area, and I had that one time years ago, and that is very uncomfortable. And it takes a few days to get over that. And when you don't have a few days rest, when you're playing 3 days in a row, that just had to magnify his inability to, you know, move like you want to. And then it's not like your next game is somebody that, you know, is easy and you get the best defensive team in the state. Yeah, it was tough.
Well, let's talk a little March Madness now before we shut this thing down. I don't know about you guys, but I'm getting excited to watch those games tomorrow. It's going to be 12 hours of basketball the next 2 days. That's awesome. But have you guys filled out any brackets or looked at those and figured out who you think's going to win?
Yep, I've got my bracket filled out.
You got Iowa winning?
No, I don't. I've got them losing in the Elite Eight, but I'd like to see them go to the Final Four. They're playing well. I mean, you know, they're on a roll now.
Yeah, they are. And to answer your question, Dan, I don't fill out brackets. I watch the games, and sometimes I like watching the games by myself because you get around a bunch of people and they want to ask you 48 questions. I like to watch the games from a coach's standpoint a lot of the times. Yeah, Iowa's playing very, very well. My concern about Iowa is this, and I told a few other coaches this. You play 4 days in a row in the Big Ten tournament and a couple grueling games, and I said – to some guys, I said, I hope they don't get a Thursday game. I hope they actually get a later Friday game. And then it comes out that they're playing at 2:10 on Thursday. Well, according to NCAA, your travel day has to be 2 days ahead of time because, like, today they'll be doing their walkthrough and shoot around at the venue in Buffalo. So, you know, they get back late Sunday night. I'm sure on Monday, maybe they gave him the day off and had like a team meeting and a film session Monday night, maybe a scouting report, and then have a very light workout before they left. And I know they got in Buffalo last night. So I just hope they got enough, gas in the tank because you win, boom, you got one day, then you turn around playing again on Saturday.
Well, I think they got a very good draw, other than the fact that they do have to play so quickly again. If they can get by Richmond, then they're going to get the winner of the Providence-South Dakota State game. And
That's right there. I'm picking South Dakota State to beat
Providence. Oh, I would too. I mean, they're only a two-point underdog. I mean, that tells you how much respect they either get or Providence isn't getting.
Well, I don't know if you've seen much. I've seen a few of South Dakota State's games, and they can score the basketball. I think the big thing for them is going to be able to keep Providence in front of them and try to make him beat him from the outside, and then obviously keep him off the glass.
Rod, do you know who plays for South Dakota State? They got a couple of Iowa boys.
They've got a young man that played against us from Marshalltown, Luke Apple.
Oh, yeah. He's the one that Jackson collided with and ended up in Mary Greeley that night.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
Well, and the Hoover kid still plays there, right?
Douglas Wilson. Yeah. He's in his fifth or sixth year. And then they've got the Mims kid from Cedar Rapids Xavier too. Wow. Is a guard for him. Yeah. And then
Mims plays there?
Yeah.
He's Jackson's age.
Yeah. And then there's a fourth young man. He's from the western part of the state. He's played at a 2A or 3A school, and I can't remember his dang name right off the top of my head. But yeah, they got a nice Iowa flavor to their roster.
Yeah. I always like that Mims kid. His dad's a nice guy too, you know.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool cuz it's my son, you know. Bob coached my son. He's 22 now, but so many kids that he's played with or against, you know. I mean, he's got guys like, you know, Joe Weiskamp in the NBA now, but there's a lot of, you know, we've been watching games. They'll say, hey, remember that guy, Dad, that he played on, you know, the Minnesota Swoosh. And I watched Race Thompson play the other night, played against him for D1 Minnesota. And it's just, you know, and then when he was going into his senior year, the Murray kids played up with him almost half the summer because we needed kids, you know. And I mean, I thought they were nice players, but if you ever told me that they were going to be like they are today, I'm just shocked. I mean, they're unbelievable. I mean, he's unstoppable right now.
Yeah. Well, you know, there was some college coaches just said this recently that I don't know if I want to call it the state of high school basketball in the state of Iowa, or the caliber, maybe that's the way I want to put it, has gotten so much better, and people don't realize how many good players there are in the state of Iowa. And, you know, even, you know, there's a lot of good players at the D2, D3, NAI level, junior college level that are really, really good basketball players coming out of this state. And, you know, you just look at our league, and especially the league that we're going into next year. You know, I've had some college coaches tell me that it's like a small college basketball league that we're going to be in. So
who all do we – is in our league next year?
It's an easy one, Rod. You got us and Ankeny and Waukee Northwest and Johnston and Dowling and Valley and Urbandale and Southeast Polk.
Now, we still get to play like the Mason Cities and the Four Dodges?
No, a lot of those schools that are going to that other league that they're forming did not want to cross over and play us. So we would run into them, you know, in the postseason. I know we're playing Omaha Burke and we're playing Cedar Rapids Prairie. And then we are playing Ames. And then I believe we're playing either North or Roosevelt. So, yeah, I know that, you know, it's going to be a fan's delight and a coach's nightmare. And some of the college guys have said that there's not really going to be a bottom tier league next year, even though there'll be teams with losing records. So.
I like the tweet from Andy Pollard after Ames won the state title. I don't know if you saw it or not, but he said he hopes that Ames can compete in that new conference.
Yeah. So.
Well, in basketball they can, but I don't think they're worth a darn anything else up there lately.
Well, swimming. They're still really good in swimming. And I think track, they're still decent.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that new conference works out.
But since we got Bob here, we got to give another shout out. Because his brother Mike has let us all know this week, wrestling starts this week for the Nationals. So, you know, one of our little group texts we had yesterday was from Tony Rhodes, and he says, I'm not going to be that guy that goes up to the bar and sees six wrestlers up there and said, hey, can you turn it to the basketball game?
Yeah.
But if you think of look at all the stuff going on now. I mean, we got the NCAA tournament. We've got you know, baseball finally starting back up. We've got NFL free agency, which has been just, for me, it's like my Super Bowl. Two days of whirlwind, great stuff. And got wrestling coming on. And, you know, God, 10 days, we have Elton John in Des Moines. 13 days, I turn 60. I mean, it's just like, this is March Madness, man.
We got a big event come up in May, too. Should we mention that or not?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, in May, we've got a really big event. We're going to have Days and Confused, too, in May. May 7th, it's me and eight of my best friends. We decided last year with no Summerfest that we were going to have our own. And I'm going to be honest. It was the party of the decade so far.
Of the summer, anyway.
that was a very nice event. You know, my wife and I thought, we'll go for like an hour, hour and a half. And then I think we ended up being there for about 6 hours. But what I thought was really, really neat is all the different people that you saw that were Ankeny graduates and even some Centennial graduates when we first opened up. But we end up figuring out that there were people from six different decades. And I think Dale Hankey was the oldest with the class of 65, but there was another guy there that said he was in the, and I don't know who it was. And so it was a very neat experience and night for everybody, and everybody seemed to enjoy it.
Oh, yeah, because you saw so many people that, you know, especially since we've been locked up for 2 years.
Right.
And you saw people that you haven't seen forever. I mean, like Dale said, this is, you know, and those that listen, Dale was a longtime teacher and coach in Ankeny. But he said, I saw people I haven't seen in 15 years.
Yeah, it was like not a classroom. It was like alumni banquet is what it was like. Yeah.
And the bands were great.
For sure.
And, you know, we got an in because we have at the Victoria Lodge, and Mike Fontana is a member there.
I am too.
And so is Bob, and you know, I've been trying to have him teach me the secret handshake, but I don't know it yet.
Well, I'll never forget when my son and I got inducted on the Sunday, and this is about 5-6 years ago, and we were the only two getting inducted that day. When I walked out there, I told my son, I said, I thought it felt like we just got getting inducted into the mafia.
but it's what a great place though, and their prices are good. We told them we were going to run out of beer, and sure enough, I mean, within an hour we were out of Coors Light. I mean, you know, but it was
I think Mike told me that the guy at the lodge said, you guys got to guarantee us
$250.
Yeah, and Mike goes, that'll be in the first 20 minutes. And then the guy ended up saying to him later on, a few weeks later, he goes, yeah, we made $7,200 that night.
Yeah. It was great.
Yeah.
We're going to do it again, and, you know, you're all welcome. You know, if you all you have to do to get in free is say Rodcast. That's the password at the door. And, you know, and the good news is if you say Rodcast and something nice, Bob will buy you your first drink, too.
Yeah. I think we should have the immigrant trunk and the two blood-tipped swords and that stuff that they had when I got inducted into the lodge. And you had to do this, like, this saying and pledge and everything.
I'd love it.
Well, a lot of people probably wouldn't get in because they couldn't memorize the passage. It was that long. I was like, well, I got to concentrate on this. It was. I mean, it was like a three-paragraph passage, and the president said, repeat after me. And he'd say two or three sentences, and I'm like, you got to really be locked in. And then you got all these old Italian guys that are staring at you like with the eyes of an assassin. I'm like, Jesus.
You know, my uncle's on the board out there. Do you know Aldo Lombardi?
Oh, you know what's funny about Aldo? Right before he came here, my brother Mike called me and said Aldo just called him the other day.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
He was married to my dad's sister.
Okay.
Shortly.
And also, too, when I moved here, he let me know that who his step-grandsons were. I had him at Kennedy.
No kidding.
Yeah. Wow. The Stewarts, yep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Great people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Al's a good one, man.
Yep. He's old school. All those guys are.
Oh, yeah.
How many members do they have out there? Do you know?
I think it's on the men's, there's a women's auxiliary, too. I think there's like 230, 240. I know that not this past summer, but the summer before, they had an appreciation dinner for just the male lodge members. And we took my dad to it because he was getting recognized for being a member for over 50 years. And there was only four guys that were still alive that were members 50 years or longer. Because that building was built in 1953, but the lodge was actually organized in the late 20s.
Where was it at then?
That's a great question, Rod. I just know that I was told that when the,
you're all right.
Excuse me, geez. When the immigrants would come over, that a lot of the Northern Italians were settling in the Ankeny and Kearney area, and the Southern Italians settled on the south side of Des Moines. So there used to be different organizations. The south side was the Stemma Dei Italia, and then they added another one, which was the CIA, which was the Club of Italian Americans, and then, which was the younger version, I guess, and then you had Vittoria Lodge, which was the Northern Italians up here in the Kearney and Ankeny area.
Wow.
Yeah, so I could give you a whole history lesson someday.
Well, it's interesting because, it, you know, like I said, I'll be 60 in 13 days, and I don't ever remember not ever going to an event there.
Right.
You know, I mean, you know, and you know, I hate to say it, it's only about 3 years ago I realized it wasn't the Victoria Lodge. You know, I always call it the Victoria Lodge, you know. You know, I think Tony said the same thing, man. I didn't realize that, you know. But no, it's just a great time of year. I mean,
yeah, you know, it is.
But we're all going to be at the Final Four. It'll be fun. It'll be my first one.
We'll have to find Bob somehow. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. when it was in San Antonio, what's that been, about 3 or 4 years ago, Dan?
Yeah, that must have been 18 when okay. Villanova won it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm with a couple college coaches, and they said to me, like, we were at one of those free concerts. It was on a Friday evening, and they said, you know anybody else that's coming down here? And I said, well, I know a few guys from Ankeny are coming down. I said, but with all these people here, I said, I don't know if we'll run into them or not. No more than I said that 10 minutes later, I run into Dan and Tony Rhodes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. You know?
So who? Somebody else was with you, too.
In San Antonio, who was it? I don't think they're in San Antonio. Well, his cousin came over and met us that one day. She was at the concert with us, but...
Okay.
I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah, I am too. The guy played basketball at Ankeny, and his son, he's got a younger son that's in our ACBC program. You think I'd remember his name. But anyway, he was down there too.
Well, when we were up in Minneapolis, Ed Herridge was with us. I don't know if we saw you in Minneapolis or not, but Ed was with us. You know Ed Herridge.
Yeah, he played for John Crow at Lincoln, yeah.
But yeah, I don't know who else. Drawing a blank.
Well, I did call the New Orleans Convention Bureau yesterday and let them know that, when they have the Big Ten football tournament, they always run out of Coors Lights. Well, I let them know Brent Cameron was in town, and they better order up on the Jack Fire. Jack Fire. You want to have a fireball. He's a Jack Fire guy, you know. Yeah.
You think we're going to survive a weekend with him?
Oh, man. I mean, that's you know, the good news is we each have our own room, so I don't have to worry about, like, you know, I'm worried about Brent down there, to be honest.
He's never been there, right?
No. Oh, yeah. I've been there twice.
I'm going to stay away from you guys.
I've been down there twice, both with Andy Crawford, both for Buccaneer Saints games. And it's, so each time I've been there, I've been in the dome. It's cool.
Yep. All right. Well, hey, we know Bob has to wrap things up here, so we're gonna wrap things up here as well. So, Rod, do you have anything you want to close out with?
Hey, just if everybody listens to this word, I always have my key phrase to text me and let me know you heard it. Since Elton's going to be playing in 10 days, the key phrase is, don't shoot me. Don't shoot me. Which happens to be one of his greatest albums of all time, by the way. So don't shoot me is the key phrase.
All right. You still got like 10 more albums to count out, don't you?
I just put 10 on today. Today was The Big Picture, which is a great album. Came out in 1997, excuse me. Phenomenal album.
Well, hey, it was great being on with you guys. I'm heading to Phoenix on Friday morning. And so next time I see you, I'll probably be in New Orleans.
All right.
You want to see Bernie?
Yeah. Him and Doug Fisk and Jay Ehler, so three former teammates, we're going to be together for 3 or 4 days.
I saw Jay Ehler just recently at the Grumpy Goat, and I was with Andy Howard.
Yeah, he lives in Colorado, but he's going to be out there. Yeah.
Tell him I said hi, man.
Yeah. Our wives get to hear all the old stories.
Hey,
so.
Last question. When you go down there, is Bobby Sandquist going this year?
No. I just talked to him yesterday.
Okay.
No.
All right.
Well, thanks, Bob, for joining us.
All right. Take care, guys.
All right. Well, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Rodcast. We're going to wrap it up now. So come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Podcast, and we'll be back with another Rodcast this summer.